Well, we appreciate being with the saints this morning again. Appreciate all our visitors. We've been talking about marriage. Last week we started a series on marriage. And we spoke of the beauties. You know, the Lord said that marriage was between a man and a woman is like His relationship with the church. I would say He designed it. He designed both of them. He wrote them. He made it the way it is. And He made it to be beautiful. I believe that. And so we have something to inherit of the promises of God, don't we? I want to think about this morning. There is aspects to marriage. I wrote on the board the permanency of marriage. I was debating whether to write the commitment of marriage. You know, what God does, He does, doesn't He? And He doesn't want us to undo. You know, this morning, I know that we are talking about a subject that is not an easy subject to talk about in our world today. But it's a very important subject. And I say to the young and to those that aren't married, listen to the word of the Lord. Because we're going to use a lot of scriptures this morning. And I trust this that we can finish it this morning, even if it runs a few minutes late. But this morning, it is very important that God made things the way He did. It's important to not meddle with that, isn't it? In Genesis 20 and 2, there's a little story I want to start out with. And it says here, and Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, Genesis 20 and 2 through, we'll go through 7, I guess. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. Well, she was his half-sister, right? But she was his wife. And Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah because he thought she was Abraham's sister. And so he took her from him. And it says, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she even my herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. And so this was traumatic news to Abimelech, and he got right up and restored this man's wife. And I want to talk about marriage this morning in a way that maybe you've never heard it if you haven't been here before. And so when we approach this subject and this part of this subject about marriage, I do so trembling. I do that because I know people's situations sometimes, and I feel their pain, and I don't have any grace to give them. But on the other hand, the God of heaven requires of me that I preach the word. And so I share the word. I'm not a policeman to see that it happens. I'm only a messenger. And so this morning, I want to give to you what I believe the Lord has given to me. What I believe He's given in His word, especially. I want to look back at the beginning days of marriage. Let's go clear back to Genesis 2 and 22. We covered a little bit of this last week. But it says here, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. And I see here two things. Let's read on, and I'll come back to that in a moment. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. This is God saying this. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. I want to notice here that there were two things done. Adam took Eve unto him. And God said, he said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There was a part that God did and a part that Adam did. And I think many times that we forget that there's a part that God did. Okay, and we just think, well, I made a vow. But I want to think about the whole picture this morning. When we go back another chapter to Genesis 1 and verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And then he goes on to say, and God blessed them. God blessed this male and female. I believe he blessed, and as you read about marriage all ever since then, you see that God blessed marriage. He put his approval on marriage. He put his blessing upon marriage. And this was God's design. It was his approval upon it. And I want to read in Mark, where it summarizes everything we've just said and brings it forward, okay? Let's read in Mark 10 and 6, and you're going to have to stay with us or you won't catch these things that I feel like the Lord really wants his people to know. Young folks, the Lord really wants you to understand some things about marriage and its permanency, it being permanent. It's a thing where God enters into this thing as well as we do. It's not just our vow, but it's God's business as well. And let's look in Mark 10 and 6. And I'm going to read this whole account, but for the moment, summarizing what we've just read, I want to read verses 6 through 9. It says here, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. This is Jesus speaking. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Now I know a lot of times when we think about this, we're just thinking, well, you made a vow. Folks, it's a lot farther than a vow. Because when God joins something together, Jesus said, don't let man cut that in half, because God did it. And so when we made the vow, or when we took our wife to us, and then God blessed it and he put his sanction on it, it became something more than just if we said, you know, I think I like that plate of food out there or whatever. No, it becomes something between us and our spouse and God. And so there's a covenant that we make, and it says, and they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. I want us to remember that as we study here. This was part, let's remember, of the 6 days, the first 6 days of creation. This was the sixth day that the Lord did this. Part of his creation work, okay? So let's look at what this is. And again, I don't clobber anybody. Folks, life is hard enough as it is. We need the grace of God to be able to live in the plan of God. But the grace of God and his plan makes life the best it can be. So it may not always be the best in the flesh as far as us feeling so. But I want us to remember something, that God made them male and female, and he blessed them that way. Does God bless any other type of union? He made them male and female. That's what he blessed. And in fact, he says very clearly, and I'm not going to read it for one thing's sake of time, and the other because of the way it says it. I'll let you read it. Look in Romans 1, I think it's 26 and 27, and we see where the judgment and the displeasure of God is upon man with man and woman with woman. Folks, that is something very clear in the Scriptures. Don't ever doubt that. Study your Bible if you doubt it at all. Because though some of those people are good people in society, I'm not going to say all of them are just on the fringes and weird and all of that. Folks, I have known some of them that aren't altogether outlandish. But God says it's a sin. And he says it to be a great sin. He says of Sodom, he said, they were sinners exceedingly. Okay, so there's something a little deeper and more about what Sodom was doing. And I know that Sodom, it was not all just that. The pride, it says, and a fullness of bread and all of that. That was all part of Sodom's sin. But I want to think this morning about marriages that God approves. So does God approve? Is he a part of a marriage when two sinners get saved? I mean, two sinners get married? Is God, does that count? Or is that something that, well, when I get saved, then I can leave them? But let's remember something. Do you remember Herod when he took his brother Philip's wife, Herodias? Do you remember? You can look that up in Mark 6 and 17 and 18. Mark 6, 17 and 18. And it says, Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. You know, sometimes it gets really serious when you preach the gospel. Sometimes you pay a great price for it. And so, while we want to be as gentle as possible, Herod liked to go hear what John had to say. He didn't do it all, but it says he did many things when he heard John. And so John was very plain and clear, and he told Herod, what you're doing isn't right, Herod. You got your brother's wife. Well, I want to tell you this morning. I want to read to you what a historian that lived at the time of Herod, Josephus, said this. And he said that this marriage of Herod Antipas with Herodias took place while he was on a journey to Rome. He stopped at his brother's, fell in love with his wife, agreed to put away his own wife, the daughter of Aretas, king of Petraea, and Herodias agreed to leave her own husband and live with him. But I want to tell you something. The Spirit of God in John told Herod, that's not right. Folks, not every marriage is right, but I want to tell you what we get from this. Two things. One is that God recognized this marriage between Herodias and Philip, her first husband. He recognized that. He did not recognize this marriage here. And he told him, you give her back, in other words. It's not right for you to do what you're doing. Well, those are not words that were met with love. Because Herodias ended up saying, I want John's head on a platter. And Herod, because he had made a rash vow, did it. And John died from that. And I want to tell you this morning, don't shoot the messenger. Let's hear the word that the Lord says. And let's ask him, Lord, what do you have to say to me? Because I really believe that God's plan and God's way is the best it can be for our life and for eternity. I believe that this morning. And so when we look at this, Let's remember that God set it up and God blessed it. That's why we can't go out and marry an animal. Okay? We can't marry our lamb because we like it. Okay? Why? Well, that's just common sense. No, not in today's world. In today's world, that might become a reality. You know, I don't know where they're going to go. But I want to tell you, in God's world, what God has said, it's between a male and a female. For life. One with one for life. I know that's not preached in today's world very much, but folks, I just want to share the word with you. You do with it what you want to. Young folks, I exhort you to look for a companion that has not been married and to remember that I shall stay with this companion. This is mine for life. This is the only one for life. And I want to exhort us that are in marriage to never entertain that, you know what, I think this isn't working. I don't like the way she cooks. I don't like the way she does. He does. I don't like the way they, whatever. You know, there's a lot of things like that. I know of a marriage today that is together that when the woman got a hold of the fact that she could never be married again, she made her marriage work. You know, when we have this out, folks, it's a dangerous thing. Very dangerous thing. And so this morning, I want to encourage us. We're going to look at a bunch of scriptures. And I pray God to give me the right time here. We have very little time on the clock. But yet we may run a little past 12 as we normally do. I mean, we normally stop at 12 or before. I want to look over here at Mark now, 10, where we are. And let's start at the beginning of that reading and read all the way through that. That's from 10 and 2 to 10 and 12. Verse 2 says, "And the Pharisees came to him," and I want us to recognize what they ask him. "The Pharisees came to him and asked him, 'Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?'" Tempting him. That was all they asked. Can a man put away his wife? They did not ask, can he be married again? They just said, can a man put away his wife? And so Jesus began to answer that. Well, they were in the mode. Divorce was a very big thing among them at the time. And according to the history that we understand. And folks, it was nothing to them to think they could get married again. But I want to look closer at what Jesus said. Because they asked him one question. Is it lawful to put away your wife? And he answered and said unto them, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away." And Jesus answered and said unto them. Now Moses told them, if you find some uncleanness in her, you can put her away. Okay, well, they had two schools of thought. I think Hillel and Shammai maybe was the other school. And those two schools of thought permeated Jewish society. And one of them said only for adultery, and the other one, or something similar to that. And the other one was, you know, if she displeases, if she cooks the eggs wrong and I don't like it, I can get rid of her. And that was the big thing. And so they ask him this question, tempting him, trying to get him into a side here, trying to get him into something. Okay? And Jesus answered and said unto them, listen to his answer to this question. "For the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept." Now, I want to tell you something. Jesus came to bring us a soft heart, a heart full of the Holy Ghost that is able to perform the commandments of the Lord. If we think we're going to do all these things on our own, it's not going to happen very well. But I want to tell you something. Jesus came to bring us the Holy Spirit to fill our whole life and give us power to live for him and to live for him rightly. He says, "For the hardness of your heart, Moses wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." See, now we're looking back here. We're the things we read back there in Genesis, Jesus is confirming, isn't he? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house his disciples ask him again of the same matter. And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Now, I think all of us would say that's pretty clear. Okay? I think the thing, and I say I think, I know that when we begin to study Scripture and the Bible, first, let's understand the things that are clear. The things that are really clear cut. Jesus said here, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Okay? Now, I'm just reading the word to you. I'm the messenger, not the policeman, okay? But God has made these regulations and these kind of laws concerning marriage. He's the one that set it up. He's the one that set the laws in motion, didn't he? And so Mark, as we're reading, according to history, was sent to the Romans and Luke to the Greeks. They believe that Matthew was written to the Jews. Okay? This was sent out before, as I understand it, before Matthew was ever written. Now, I want us to remember something. This was sent out anyway, not as a four gospel pack, but this was sent out on its own. This is what the words of Jesus that went out to the world, okay? We look at Luke 16 and 18, and it says here, whosoever... This is Jesus' words. He's just teaching them here different things. And he says, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. And so that seems pretty clear, doesn't it? So as we look at these things, we're not trying to nail down somebody. Folks, I want you to know the truth, because these are the truths that we're going to stand before God with. God, reveal yourself to us. Teach us your ways. Not my thoughts, or not what I say, but what your word says. Okay? And so these are clear scriptures. These are clear scriptures in books alone by themselves that were sent out. Okay? Does that make sense what I'm saying there by saying that? Okay, let's turn to Romans 7 and 2. And here we have Paul writing. And he says, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Do you know there's a law of our husband? There's something there that connects us for life. There's something there that God put in motion, and we might have made a decision in our haste or whatever, but I want to tell you, God put his part in there too. And so it says, so then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. And so, the scriptures in these verses are pretty plain. Okay, now, we're going to get to all the scriptures I know of in the New Testament, okay? Let's look on over now in 1 Corinthians 7 and 10. I hope I'm not going so fast we don't pick these things up. But write them down, read them, study them. Because, folks, it's what we're going to be judged by at the end of the way. In 1 Corinthians 7 and 10, it says, and unto the married, I'm sorry, I want to get verse 39, and then I'm going to come back to that. Corinthians 7 and 39. It says, "The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord." So, you know what? We're not just at liberty to do anything we want to do. It says, only in the Lord. Someone that's saved. Someone that understands something. Someone in the will of God for us as well. Not just saved, but in the will of God. And so when we see these things, we want to take heed to our lives, folks. We are. It says that she is bound so long as her husband liveth, and then when she come, if he dies, then she's free to marry, but still only in the Lord. Okay, so I don't believe it's a healthy practice to go out there and marry someone. Well, they're saved, but you know they don't know anything of the truth, folks. We're setting ourselves up for troubles, and there's many scriptures in the Old Testament that bear that out. I don't have time in this setting to bring all those out, but if you want to study, I will study with you and be glad to. You know, I believe the Lord wants to call people out of sin and Babylon, and that's who He wants us to marry. So the Lord help us today. We turn back to 1 Corinthians 7 and 10, the same chapter. And we want to read a few scriptures here. "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband." There are times when I believe this is speaking of. There are times of severe abuse where it's not safe. A child abuse. Things of that nature where somebody has to leave. But he says, let them remain unmarried. Or be reconciled. Now folks, when we understand these truths, we will work harder to make our marriage work. Because it's not fun to be single. When you really want to be married anyway. So, as we read these scriptures, let's take them in. Lord, teach us your ways and your thoughts. I'm not saying these things. I'm reading the Bible to us. Okay? "But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy." You see, it's not an illegitimate marriage. The children are not illegitimate children because God has sanctioned it. Okay? So, "But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace." Now, I want to read one more. "What knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?" You know, this morning, people use this and twist this to their own destruction. Because they say, well, they're not under bondage. Folks, the scriptures in this very place are very clear. That no, they're not under bondage to go following them and have to, I've got to be with them. But they are under the law of God's law of marriage to stay single. That's very clear in this setting. All right? I hope that's clear to everybody. We don't have to be condemned or compelled to follow. If our spouse leaves us illegitimately, unless we've caused it or something. But the command is to remain unmarried. All right, so it is sanctified, or accepted of God as a union which God has joined together. Okay, it's something that he accepts as a legitimate marriage. Okay, now I want to come to a few scriptures that would leave a little question. But I want us to remember how that these other books of the Bible have been so very clear. I think everything we have read has been crystal clear, hasn't it? This would be the only place that might, in my mind, is crystal clear. It's very clear the way it says it. But let's turn back now to Matthew 5 and verse 31. And I want to look at the scriptures here in Matthew, and let's pray God to illuminate our eyes that we might be acceptable in his sight. Okay? It says, "It hath been said," Jesus says this, "whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement." That's what Moses, that's what you all have said, he says. That's what Jesus said. It's been said. "But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery." So, the only question there would be, he says very plainly, if he divorces her, she can't be married again. Jesus was not addressing can they remarry altogether here. But he was addressing the same thing, that is it okay to divorce them? Well, Jesus said, you know, it's been said, let him give them a writing of divorcement. And so, "But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication," he uses that word, whatever, I'm not going to try to take up time with that this morning. But I want to tell you something. He said it causes her to commit adultery. "And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery." So I want to look at Matthew 19. Let's keep that in mind and go to Matthew 19. And verse 3. "The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" Because, see, that was the big deal going in those two schools of thought. What is lawful? And Jesus just cuts right through all of it. And he says here, "And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, God said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Okay? What God has put together, don't let man break it up, he says. That's pretty clear. "He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery." So there again, he said, okay, if she's put away and she gets married again, it's adulterous. It's adult. Why? Because in God's eyes, he's still seeing that first marriage as God's marriage. That's what I put my approval on. Now, so, let's finish here. "His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry." Okay, now I want to ask you something. I want you to think about it for a second. Why did Jesus say that? I mean, why did the disciples, why were they so shocked? They said, well, then it's good not to get married. Why did they say that? Why did they say, because here's what Jesus said. Let's read it again. "And I say unto you," let's see. I say unto you, whosoever, excuse me, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Now, folks, the question was putting away. Jesus was addressing that. Okay? And so he said something to them here that was so shocking to them. Because, see, they had never even conceived the thought that you can never get married again. Because they did it all the time. They even had multiple wives, some of them. David had wives. Solomon had wives. And, you know, but he said something shocking. Because they said, well, then it's best not to get married. If you can't get out of this, it's best not to get married. That's what they said. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this, saving they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb. And it goes on talking about that kind of a situation. And so this morning, folks, I just want to reason with us. I feel very strongly that the Lord has wanted for some time for me to bring these thoughts. I have spent months praying about it, seeking the Lord about it, and I want to ask you to just consider it, okay? I know in our world today, this is not popular. I know this hurts. It hurts people. But I want to tell you, Jesus, I believe, has a way that is wholesome and good. And he has a way to satisfy every one of us. And so, as we look at these things, I want to look a little more here about this scripture that we just read. The question then becomes, does the exception only apply to the putting away or also to remarriage? Number one, we know that whatever Jesus was speaking of here, it was only in the case of fornication. And that word has a narrow meaning and a wide meaning. It means harlotry. It means all kinds of those kind of sensual sins. And yet, it also has a narrow meaning that means fornication, only between unmarried people. And so some believe that this is talking about the betrothal period. But whatever it's talking about, I'm not going to go there right now, but whatever it's talking about, he's quite clear, I think. And their reaction makes it quite clear. We know that Jesus forbid the woman getting remarried in this situation, didn't he? In the case in question. Number three, the disciples were so taken back by the new teaching of Jesus that they said it was better not to marry. And four, I want us to think about this. When any scripture is less than clear, we have to appeal to all the other scriptures. If they are all in agreement and no others are in agreement with what the question is, then let it be settled in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Okay? I believe that God is able to make us live to his teachings. And I know that Moses, because of the hardness of their heart, because they were unable to have the grace of God, gave them this. But folks, the Lord came to bring grace and truth in today's world. And folks, the best thing we can give them is a solid, God-glorifying marriage. I want to encourage us today to protect our marriages and to recognize this is my only chance at it. I must make it work. And why not make it work well? We can. We can. There's ways to do that. And so I want to read a little bit here from what Brother Austis wrote, churchofgodeveninglight.com. It's there if you want to look it up. The question to him was, please explain Matthew 19 and 9, and I'm not going to read it all. You can look it up if you want. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Okay? And this was his answer. The basic law for interpreting scriptures any scripture and all scriptures is known as unanimity of faith. This means there must be a complete accord and agreement of all scriptures on any particular subject. To isolate one scripture on any subject and put a private interpretation on it, which is contradictory to the general plain teaching of the scriptures on that subject, is to do violence to the scriptures, which will destroy the validity of that doctrine or teaching. Charles E. Brown said, "Now we ought not to found a doctrine upon a text of scripture of doubtful meaning. We ought to found all doctrine upon scriptural text of plain meaning. And then interpret the difficult text by the plain text. I certainly agree with this statement, and failure to follow this rule in interpreting the above text has led to a general breakdown of standard on this very important doctrine. I urge us to reread these scriptures and remember one thing as you do, that these disciples were taken back, so much so that they said it's good not to marry them." You know, that was quite a statement. But I want us to remember something, folks. God, not just our vow, not just our commitment, but God had a part in this. And it says, "What he hath joined together, let not man put asunder." And so this morning, I want to encourage us today to view marriage through maybe a slightly different lens than we have. To recognize it is God's pinnacle, I believe, of what he made. People and marriage is probably the pinnacle of what he made. And so we see that he wants our marriages to be happy and holy and godly and God glorifying. He wants that. Folks, they can be. They must be. And I urge us today to humble our hearts until they are. Because it's possible in today's world. In Ephesians 5, and I'm almost done here, Ephesians 5 and 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives." What did I just read? Can somebody say it? Love your wives. He didn't say the good ones. He didn't say the ones that please us so well. He said, love them. Now, you know what you do when you love somebody? You do good things for them. You have amiable feelings for them. You pray for them. It changes all your actions. If we have bitter feelings, things of that nature, folks, it changes the whole picture, doesn't it? Makes all that impossible. How can you love and have bitterness at the same time? We can't do it. And so we get down on our knees. I've had to do this too. And we humble ourselves before God. And we say, "Lord, I need you. I need to be able to love like you loved me. I need to be able to love in such a way that you gave yourself when I wasn't worthy of it. I have a worthy wife. I have a very good wife. But I want to tell you, you all know what I'm talking about. Marriage has its times, doesn't it?" It does. And what we do with those times has so much to do with our eternal soul. What we do with those times. We can humble ourselves. And how many times have I humbled myself and God has made my eyes to see through a different lens? Plenty of times. And I've realized I thought I was so right. And maybe I was in some ways. Maybe I was in almost all of it. That I recognize where the devil is working. Folks, God made marriage to be happy, wholesome, and God glorifying. So don't ever forget that. Let's don't stop until we have that. Okay? It comes at a death to our own self sometimes. We give up our ways sometimes. Well, they ought to do what? No, we give up our ways sometimes. God will change our mind if we will humble ourselves to him. This is a big deal. It's not a big deal to one or two. It's a big deal. Okay? I've been around long enough, and especially in the ministry long enough, to know it's a big deal. And you counsel a lot of people about these things. Well, listen, folks. God made this thing. And when he got done with all the things he made, he looked and it was very good. Thank the Lord this morning. Continuing in Ephesians 5. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. See, it's a two-way street, folks. One can't do it all, but one can have a drastic impact on it. And that's why in 1 Peter 3, it talks to the women. And it tells them there that that without the word, maybe the unbelieving husband can be won. You know, by their conduct. And so we have that influence on one another. It's a very powerful influence when it's truly the humble grace of God. Because that's hard to withstand. If you want to love somebody, it's really hard to withstand. It takes a soft heart, folks, to love others all through life. Especially when you're in such close quarters. But doesn't God make our heart soft? Didn't Ezekiel 36 and 26 and 27 say, "A new heart also will I give you? And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. And cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them." Thank the Lord this morning. Oh, we want the Lord's blessing upon our lives. When I was, 18 or 19, the Lord gave me two passages of Scripture for my life. And one of them was Psalms 128. And it goes like this: "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." I could have walked away from that at times. But thank God he helped us, and he'll help you too. "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." Folks, God has blessing for our marriages and our homes. And I want to say just a few more words to this subject that we talked about this morning, because this is a very difficult subject to approach, and I will let you determine whether it was of God or not. But I felt very inspired to do this. And there's another aspect of it that I didn't have time to bring in. You know that the church, with one voice, for centuries and centuries, believed what I preached to you this morning. With one voice. You do not find a dissenting voice. I think there was maybe one heretic or something. But folks, that was the stand of all the churches. History bears that out. And we have their writings. We have the writings of people that were in that first 200 years, 300 years. We have those writings, don't we? And I will produce some of those if you need them. But this morning, I want to tell you, the permanency of marriage is not something of man. And it's not something just because I made a vow. Although that's a critical part of it. It's because God put it in place. And what he has made twain into one, don't let man mess with that. That's the word of the scriptures this morning. You pray for me that I can be a proper example myself in this way. Amen.